Can there ever be such a thing as prehistory news? Well, you be the judge. Welcome to our news strand, Prehistory Flash. I'm Michael Bott.
And I'm Rupert Soskin. And the clue is in the title, really. Quick light bites bringing you the latest discoveries and developments in the world of prehistoric archaeology.
Kicking straight off, we're going to be taking you to the banks of the Danube, about 30 miles west of Vienna. But 30,000 years ago?
Do you know, this is it's a painful discovery, whilst being quite lovely in its way. It's the earliest ever known burial of identical twins. And basically, the burial itself is quite lavish, but we'll come to that in a minute. This is, as Michael said, it's in the town of Krems, right in the middle of the town, actually. And this burial, it's two babies, obviously identical twins. One of them died just after childbirth, and they've been able to see this from bones and teeth, really. But one died just after birth. The other died weeks to short months afterwards, and the burial is. They were buried under a mammoth shoulder blade, which has been shaped to form a cover for the grave, and the whole thing is coated in red ochre. It's painful, really, when you think that one child died at childbirth and another one died short weeks and months afterwards. And then only a few feet away, there is a third child that they've been able to ascertain is very closely related, probably a cousin. And that was some months older. So you've got two twins dying shortly after birth and another related one in the same family dying some months later. It's just, you know, what a poignant thing to discover.
It's highly evocative, isn't it? Mm. Yeah. We should point out, though, and this is coming up in news, the discovery was actually made in 2005.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
And it's, once again, it's another case of modern tech, you know, being able to go back and look at older discoveries and learning that this is the oldest known set of identical twins. It's a fantastic thing to be able to tell.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely it. The application of ADNA techniques and isotopes to be able to evaluate what the actual filial relationship was between these two infants. I've got some great detail here from the original, from the paper, from the study of the DNA. But first, there was a description of what's actually in the grave. It's really helpful to conjure this picture. So I'll just read from the paper. It says, the oval-shaped grave pit of the double burial, measuring 0.36 by 0.28 by 0.2 metres, contained the skeletal remains of two infants, where they'll be referred to as individual one and individual two. I think individual one was the earlier of the burial. Each of the bodies was embedded in red ochre, and they were placed next to each other in flexed positions facing east, with their skulls pointing north. The bodies, however, did not occupy the same amount of space in the grave pit. While individual two was placed more centrally, individual one was deposited against the grave pit's southwest edge. A total of 43 beads made of mammoth ivory were set on individual one's pelvis, and their arrangement clearly indicate that they'd been threaded on a string. All 53 beads are remarkably similar in size and shape, and the perforations show no sign of wear, indicating a production for the sole purpose of serving as a grave good. Personalized attribution is emphasized by the position of the individual's right hand, which was placed atop the string. In contrast, individual one was equipped with three perforated mollusks and a perforated fox incisor that were recovered from beneath individual two's mandible, suggesting that they were pendants on a string necklace. After deposition of the corpses, the pit was not backfilled, but instead sealed with a mammoth's shoulder blade of which to make it fit. the scapulae had been flaked off with a series of blows. Yeah. So paints a picture, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. It's, yes, it's the wonderful aspect of ADNA telling us, you know, giving us such rich information. But at the same time, actually giving you a closer glimpse at prehistoric trauma, really. I mean, what a dreadful time for that family.
Mm. And you mentioned there is a third infant involved in this study, which was buried some distance away. But again, a very young infant. And there's a familial relationship, the third one being a cousin.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the whole thing about this for me that absolutely... Well, no, before I go into that, 2005 it was discovered, there was quite a fuss about it in Austria at the time, I do believe, and they made a reconstruction of the grave for the Natural History Museum in Vienna. So that's there, and I think some of the photographs that I may be showing are of that. But as I was saying, this recent study is to do with the DNA, and what comes out of it for me is I just gasp when I think about that we're looking back 30,000 years to, you know, a virtually, from our point of view, an alien existence, and yet the bizarre thing is I find myself getting very emotional about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
It's absolutely bizarre that these two little tiny tots have been buried with such tenderness and respect that you get such this sense of tragedy. Just boof, from 30,000 years ago, it's there.
Yeah.
Right in your face.
Yeah.
You know, the love and care that has been put into laying these little ones to rest.
But again, the astonishing amount of information that comes out of the modern tech, I find consistently enthralling. I mean, the fact that they've been able to tell from this that they did isotope analysis as well, so they can tell how they do this, I have no idea, but they can tell from the carbon, nitrogen, and barium in the tooth enamel that the twins were breastfed.
Yes,
and the cousin, the older burial, the younger burial, the older child. They could see from stress lines in the teeth that it implied that he had feeding difficulties. And from that, it makes them wonder if the mother had a painful breast infection, mastitis or something like that. And it's those sorts of things that come from our ability now to do this extreme depth of chemical analysis. It's, as you say, I mean, the dreadfully painful time for that family suddenly made real all by chemical analysis. It's extraordinary, really.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it. I mean, the other detail to come out of this, you know, is the ubiquity of mammoth.
Yes.
Just, you know, I mean, aside from everything else, just think about that moment, like mammoth bone is the kind of the plastic of the age.
Yeah.
So, and mammoth ivory, it's not surprising that we don't have any mammoths anymore. Think about that for a moment. You know, the work and industry that must have gone into providing, you know, the meat and the raw materials that a mammoth provides. I mean, these are big beasts.
Yeah.
This is a slight digression to another aspect of what was going on for these folk at the time. But that's it. That's our first... that's our first prehistory flash for you. Obviously, loads more to come. No, we just found that one fascinating, and we shall be scouring the internet and everything to bring you more interesting little tidbits like that in the future.
We certainly will.
All right. With that,
see you soon. Is,
I think, goodbye from me, and it's goodbye
from me. We'll see you soon,
folks. Next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.